Good morning and welcome to Old Lion, Young Lion, the greatest place on earth to study the scriptures. We're so happy that you're here with us. My name is Anthony Stafford and I'm here with my co-host Sam Hazelton, and we're both pastors at Electric City Baptist Church, a church plant in the heart of Schenectady County of upstate New York, and we are so pumped about what God has been doing through Old Lion, Young Lion, and we're happy that you're listening and sticking along with us. We're now going into our fourth season, and we want to give you a great announcement. The fall of 2026, we will be moving not only to audio, but also to video. So stay tuned. If you have questions, comments, or if you'd like to support the show, email us at oldlionyounglion@gmail.com. Now, we call our show Old Lion, Young Lion because we intend to be bold. And the scripture says that the righteous are bold as lions, and that is what our show is going to be about, digging deeply into the Word of God and proclaiming it boldly. We also work for the greatest lion of all time, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we would be remiss if we didn't call you to place your faith in Jesus or come and visit us at Electric City Baptist Church, where you can hear the Word of God preached and the Bible declared and the people of God singing and worship to their King. Now, before we get into today's show, we have a hot topic today, part two from last week. But before we get into today's show, I need to tell you of our sponsor. The sponsor of today's episode is a wonderful organization called Alpha Pregnancy Center. If you are pregnant or family planning or considering what God might do in the future of your family, go and find out what they have to offer. They are a donor funded and operated organization that helps young women in some of the best times and some of the worst times of their life. Alpha Pregnancy, we thank you for the work that you do and sponsoring today's episode. Okay, Old Lion, before we get into today's topic, would you mind, in like manner, as we always do, in cautious stepping forward of the steps of our very own Savior, we want to go to the Lord in prayer. So would you, like the Lord Jesus Christ, spend a moment in prayer to bless this show before we jump into it?
You bet I will. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. We are today finishing up this very long series on theologies, Lord, and thank you for getting us through this. I pray that our audience was blessed by it. I pray that they picked up some knowledge that maybe they didn't have. I pray, Father, that they would be drawn closer to you. Lord, we are going to be dealing again this week with eschatology and getting into some specifics. I pray today, Lord, this is a hot topic, and it is particularly relevant because we see, as we look out on the landscape of this world, the political, the economic landscape, we see signs of the end, signs of the apocalypse. Father, I pray today as we deal with some of these questions and some of these issues, Lord, that you'd give us wisdom to be able to express them to people in a way that they will understand, their hearts will be encouraged, and they will be drawn to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And I pray a blessing over all those that are listening. We don't know what you're walking through or how you've been hurt or what difficulties you've experienced or maybe what victories you've experienced, what trial or what triumph that you've been walking in. But we pray that this show brings you just a little bit closer to the Creator, the God Almighty in heaven, and He is interested in a relationship with you, and we hope that the show brings you closer to Him. Old Lion, can you just recoup us a little bit? Where have we been? Where are we going today, and how are we going to finish out this ologies? What have you learned from this series, and what should the listener take away from this series?
We have been in this series on theologies, and this, I think, is our 12th one or something like that, eschatology. We started out with theology proper, the doctrine of who is God. We talked about Christology, who is Jesus? Pneumatology, who is the Holy Spirit? Anthropology, what is man? Hamartiology, what is sin and how has it infected mankind? Soteriology, how can people be saved from this perverse generation? We went into angelology, the spiritual realm. We talked about ecclesiology, the church of Jesus Christ, which is his bride. And we are now finishing off the series with eschatology, the study of last things. Last week, we got into some of the big picture of eschatology from the Bible, how this seven-day week that God built into creation is playing itself out, not only in the micro, in our day-to-day lives, but also in the macro, 6,000 years, 1,000 years as a day, 6,000 years, and then a 1,000-year millennial kingdom that's coming, and then the day of eternity when we have a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells, the new Jerusalem coming down as a bride adorned for her husband. We will be dwell with God. He will be our God. We will be his people. He will wipe away every tear. There will be a blessedness forever. All sin, all causes of sin, all evildoers will be in the lake of fire, separated from this blissful kingdom that we will enjoy with God forever. And so now we're going to get into some very detailed specifics about eschatology. We're going to answer questions today such as, what are some of the reasons we think he's close? Mm. We're going to answer some questions about this coming Antichrist that everybody's heard so much about. We're going to answer some questions about this rapture that the Bible describes. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, Old Line, would you do us a favor in some of the gray that's in your mane here, Old Line? Can you give us a little wisdom? What would you want a listener to take away from the Ology series? What's maybe something that you learned and you'd say, hey, I want them to pay attention? If you were talking to one of our millions of listeners, what would you tell them is something that you wanted them to take away from this series?
I would say that if you can fall in love with the Bible, all your theological questions will be answered. All those nagging doubts that these things that people argue about will be settled. Why? Because you'll be falling in love with God's word. You'll be taking it as it is written, and you'll have the Spirit of God guiding you into all truth. So that's really what I hope people will take away from this series.
I love that. And that brings us back to a lesson that we've learned on our show for all the seasons, is that we believe that the Bible is from God, from the mouth of God, and it's for us to learn about Him. And in the scripture, there's many types of writing. We have poetic, we have prophecy, we have instructions, we have proverbs. And Old Line gave us a teaching maybe a couple of years ago that explained that not only is there a doctrinal writing of scripture, but there's also pictorial writing in scripture that kind of shows us some things that are to come through imagery, through story. And the Old Testament has a lot of this. If you go and read the book of Romans or 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, you may find a little bit of that, but not a lot. But in the Old Testament, maybe the book of Isaiah, the book of Genesis or Exodus, you're going to find a lot of it. And there is this very interesting story in the book of Genesis, chapter number 42, where there is a man that God has given all of these sons, and He wants them to develop the nation that's going to be the people that tell everyone about who God is. But one of the sons, his name is Joseph, and he's a familiar story to many of you. Joseph got betrayed by his brothers, but ultimately Joseph becomes second in command of all of the land of Egypt. And if you go to Genesis 42, we're not going to go there, but you can go look this up on your own. In Genesis 42, this very interesting story that's written in scripture. It gives us these details that you normally wouldn't understand in a regular story. So you got to find out, why is this here? And so the Bible tells us in Genesis 42 that after all of Joseph's brothers betrayed him, they went and found a man that was in Egypt that was second in command. And when they met this man, they didn't know that this in fact was the very brother that they had betrayed. And so the Bible tells us that his brothers came unto him and his brothers knew him not, which is very interesting and tells us a little pictorially about a future prophecy of when Jesus is going to show up, and he came unto his own and his own received him not. But just a few verses later in Genesis chapter number 42, the Bible says that Joseph changed his image and then showed and revealed to them who he actually was. And Jesus is going to do this very same thing. The Bible says in the book of Revelation chapter number 1 that all those that pierced him shall see that this is the very son in whom they pierced. And he's going to reveal himself for a second time, and they are going to know who he is. The first time he came, not many people got it right. A few did. There's a few that recognized Jesus when he showed up. But when Jesus came the first time, his people did not recognize him. But when he comes the second time to clear all these things up, to finish all this story up, his people will know who he was, and he will reveal the truth about what happened and what this whole thing is from Genesis page 1 to Revelation page done. And that's the story that we're going to share with you today. The Genesis 42 story that's being played out through the entire scripture. So, Old Line, I want to tell the people this first. I need your help with this. How can we know that it's just about that time when Jesus is going to reveal who he is to the earth, to the world, to his people, to everybody? Jesus is going to come and return and show everyone. And the Bible gives us some indicators throughout the entire pages of scripture that kind of show us the end is about to be here. We're just hitting the last seconds on the clock. What are some indicators from scripture that tell us the end is near?
First of all, we covered this last week about this seven-day week. A day is 1,000 years, 1,000 years is a day.
Right.
The 6,000, and here we are right at the tail end of the 6,000th year of creation. That's when Jesus is supposed to come back and sit on his throne in Jerusalem for 1,000 years. So that's one big picture, obvious one, but there's a lot of detailed ones. And we could really go on all day. You could do dozens and dozens of these signs of the end. People are aware that things are happening that show us and point to the return of Christ. But I'm going to list of, we got seven specific ones.
Nice. I like that. Nice round number at seven.
One of these is the regathering of Israel.
Okay.
And if you look in Isaiah chapter 10 and verse 12, God says this, he will raise a signal for the nations and will assemble the banished of Israel and gather the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. So we see this prophecy in Isaiah 10, 12, and we see in 1948, the nations of the world got together, conspired together, and established the nation state of Israel.
You see this, Old Line, you see this as a fulfillment of prophecy.
It's a fulfillment of prophecy. You know, the amazing thing is Israel was really out of its land. It had been exiled and banished into all the countries for a period of almost 2,000 years.
Okay.
And now, all of a sudden, the nations of the world, they have this big war, and they get together, and they sign this declaration that establishes, on May 14th, 1948, Harry Truman signed this thing in the existence of the state of Israel, and they start to come back. Look down in Isaiah chapter 10, in verse 14. This is incredible.
Okay.
It says this, "But they shall swoop down on the shoulder of the Philistines in the west. And together they shall plunder the people of the east. They shall put their hand against Edom and Moab, and the Ammonites shall obey them."
Okay.
So it's talking about the regathering of Israel. This notion of the shoulder of the Philistines. If you look on a map of Israel, you've got this Gaza Strip, and there's this spot which is right at the top of the Gaza Strip, and it looks like a shoulder. And right at that spot, that's where Tel Aviv Airport is. And so this is the airport of Israel. So as of 1948, when the nation state of Israel was born in a day, as Isaiah in Isaiah 66, 8 had predicted, shall a land be born in a single day? This happened in 1948. And all of a sudden, from all over the world, Israelites are coming home to Israel. They're swooping down on the shoulders of the Philistines in Tel Aviv Airport. Fascinating answer to prophecy.
Okay, so this is interesting, and I want to hear your take on this next one that we have here, because maybe even me and my generation have had some different viewpoints on what's happening in 1948, what's happening with the regathering of Israel, and then God kind of tells us this is going to happen, that there's going to be a rise in maybe even questioning about the nation of Israel or dislike of the nation of Israel. So what does someone do when you want, maybe if there's a nuanced position in the Bible, and I know Zechariah tells us this, Zechariah chapter 12, in verse number three or four, it tells us that in that day that Israel is going to become a burdensome stone to all nations. So what's going on with this? And maybe you can see a rise in the questioning and the frustration with the nation of Israel is also prophesied in the scripture.
Yeah, so there was a lot of worldwide sympathy for the nation of Israel after the Holocaust during World War II, which kind of led them to establish this nation state of Israel. But after that, what you've seen since that time is the surrounding nations just were attacking them. They did it in the 50s. They did it in 1967. They did it in 1973. They're constantly attacking Israel and trying to conquer them. But every time they attacked Israel, Israel would gain more of their territory, kind of being delivered by God in a manner of speaking. But you have this idea, this Jerusalem being a heavy stone for all the peoples. Anybody that tries to lift it is going to surely just hurt themselves. And so you see this being played out over the last 80 years. It's an amazing thing. And this is another, really a sign that we're in these last days, because right after in Zechariah 12, where it talks about Israel being regathered to their land and Jerusalem being a heavy stone and the nations all being against Israel and surrounding it, the very next thing that happens is what Anthony mentioned earlier. There's going to be a time when they will look upon him whom they pierced. Jesus is going to actually reveal himself to his brothers, the natural born Israelites, and they are going to weep over him as one weeps over an only child. He's going to reveal himself to them. And it says later in Romans chapter 11, and so all Israel will be saved. Those days are upon us now. We see everything being set up. Israel's back in the land of Israel. Jerusalem is their capital, and they have a desire now to rebuild this third temple, which plays into some prophecy as well.
And but we understand Stephen when he stands up and preaches, or Peter when he does, that he calls out, obviously, the errors and the sins of the Israelite people. So we no doubt understand that there could be some recognition as Christians of things that might be in error or in wrong, especially when it comes to those that have not received the Son, do not have the Father. We recognize some of that. But you're not going to glaringly look at the Word of God and tell me the opposite of the thing that it says. Whatever you might feel about some kind of nation that might not be a part of your daily life, you just haven't read the Bible. You haven't read Zechariah. You haven't read the book of Isaiah. You haven't read the book of Numbers. You haven't read the book of Genesis. You haven't looked at what the pictorial truth is about the nation of Israel. You haven't looked at what the doctrinal truth is about the nation of Israel. And though you might have some nice pot shots about what you think is wrong with that place, what you miss is the prophecy from the Word of God. And whatever God says will not be broken. So good luck. And even if we recognize that if they don't receive the Lord Jesus Christ, their eternal destiny will be a lake of fire. You are not going to look at the scripture and tell me to tear it into pieces. We aren't doing that on this show. It's not going to make the cut. And our responsibility is to declare it boldly. So good luck. All right. So let's look at the rest of the world here. There is some other things in the Bible that not only are prophetically stated about the nation of Israel, but also just about the world in general. So, and they're going to fit into that same category, that as we near closer to the end of days, we start to see something that Paul writes to Timothy to warn us about. And he says in the book of 2 Timothy chapter number 3, that in the end days, he says this, that perilous times shall come. And Oldline, how does Paul, when he's writing to Timothy, the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, how does he define these perilous times? He says, in the last days, perilous times shall come. And then he goes about for like four or five verses, and you could summarize it a little bit, but what is he kind of defining as perilous times?
So let me read this here. It says, but understand this, that in the last days, there will come times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of self.
We see that all over the place.
Lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And here's the big one, having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power.
This is just a picture of what Paul sees that God has showed him about what the end of the world is going to look like. Men going after their own things, deciding that they're the God of their own life. They don't care anything about what the Word of God says about their life. What they're after is for their own fortune, their own fame. They eventually do not care about their parents. They do not care about their own children. All they care about is themselves. Which reminds me of another prophecy from the Lord Jesus Christ that matches this old line. And this is in Matthew chapter number 24, where he says, in the end days, it'll be similar to the days of Noah. So although we first look at from Paul that the last days are going to show a bunch of men that are filled with their own infatuation, the other thing that it says is men infatuated with other men. So what we end up finding from Jesus is he says that what we're going to see is men forgetting the natural use of the women and chasing after strange flesh is what the Bible says. But then also it says this unique thing. It says that there's going to be men seeking after their own pleasure through all kind of forms of fornication and adultery. But I want you to give us some insight to this old line. Not only is there this issue of fornicating, adultery, disgusting sin that's going to be prevalent in the end times, but also there's going to be messing with, like in Noah's day in Genesis chapter number 6, messing with maybe the human DNA. So can you talk a little bit about what it looks like? And folks, I'm not talking about Revelation 13. This is a side note. Revelation 13 is some bonus content. In Revelation 13, the Apostle John, he prophesies to us that there's going to be a mark that could be inside of your hand or inside of your forehead, talking about something mixing with flesh. But that's a bonus content. The mark of the beast is coming. We saw a kind of previewed to us when we see what happened in the shutdowns, especially in the United States, in regards to the jab. We saw all kinds of stuff like that, but I don't want to talk about that yet. Genesis 6 and what Jesus is talking about in the time of Noah, what does he mean? For lay aside the sinful part, old line, and talk to us a little bit about the human DNA part.
Yeah, so there was corruption. Satan has always desired to corrupt human seed, especially in the Old Testament times, because God had promised this Messiah to save, to become a man and save all of mankind. So Satan had a plan to try to corrupt human seed. And so this is where the watchers, these heavenly angels, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, came. They saw that the daughters of men were fair. They took to wife such of them as they chose, and they bore children by them, these great men of renown, these giants, these Nephilim. And so the corruption of the human genome began at that point in time. But it says Noah was perfect in his generations.
Right.
He was not only a man of faith, a righteous man of faith, but also genetically pure. And so God chose him and his family to preserve in the ark as the rest of the world was flooded. And Jesus says this in Luke chapter 17. He says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. And you see today, you've got Elon Musk. He's putting little mouse pointers in, trying to put them into people's heads so they can control their mouse with their mind. Okay, this is a meshing of technology with humanity. Mm. And this is something, believe it or not, that was prophesied in the book of Daniel.
So Jesus not only talked about it, but also the prophet Daniel.
Yeah. In 600 BC, Daniel writes this.
Folks, before we let Old Line say this, you should know that after Daniel hears this prophesied, he gets sick. He almost throws up. He completely is overtaken with the sorrow from what Old Line is about to share. This is a world that is heading towards destruction once it leaves the natural use of how God created us and turns towards this fulfillment in something other than God. It is a sickening thing. So tell us, what does Daniel prophesy?
Nebuchadnezzar, who's the king of the world, basically, is at this point in time, has a dream, and he doesn't tell anybody what his dream was. And he says, you got to tell me the interpretation and tell me what I dreamed, otherwise you're not from God. And so he's about to kill all of his advisors, all the astrologers, all these wise men in his kingdom. Daniel says, wait a minute, king. God can give you the answer of what you dreamed and what its interpretation is. Daniel goes to prayer. He gets the revelation from God. He comes the next day to King Nebuchadnezzar and he says, here's what you dreamed. You said you saw this huge statue. Its head was of gold. Its arms and chest were of silver. Its belly and thighs of bronze. Its legs of iron and its feet, partly of iron, partly of clay. Mm. These are four kingdoms. You are that head of gold. The Medes and Persians are the arms and chest of silver coming after you. The Greeks are the belly and thighs of bronze. They're coming after them. And the Romans are these legs of iron that are coming after them. So Daniel in 600 BC predicted the next 2,600 years of human history of these kingdoms that would come. The last part of the statue, though, was feet that were partly of iron and partly of iron mixed with clay with these 10 toes on them. And so you see, this, I believe, is talking about the time in which we are now living, where the clay represents, that's what Adam was made out of, clay. Right. And so the clay represents earthiness, people, human flesh. And the iron is always a symbol in the Bible for man's ingenuity, man's technology, man's efforts. And so there's an attempt to mix the seed of men with this technology, iron and clay, but the Bible says this, it will not mix. It will not mix together. And so this, I believe, is the time that we're now living in, this time of the end. And said that in those days, this stone, which was cut out by no human hand, will come and strike the image on its feet, and the whole thing will go, and then the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ.
Well, folks, this is right at our doorstep. You need to be paying attention. This is a movement that's called transhumanism, which is the enhancement of humankind with the technology in which humankind and human's mind has invented. And as it increases, now I'm not saying that you shouldn't get a prosthetic leg or you shouldn't figure out how to, you know, fix a few things on your body, but as we become more the created thing instead of what God created, we're starting to see the days of Noah come back again, and you will see the Lord be at the door. So be ready for that. This is the last one I want to bring up, and then I want to move on quickly. We took up a lot of the show on this, but we want you to see it. And we want to end on kind of a more beautiful note, that the Lord promises in his justice, in his wise discernment and judgment, that his statutes and his commandments are absolutely holy and perfect. He promises that before the end comes, all the gospel will be preached to all the world. So what a beautiful thing that before the end of time comes, everybody on earth will have an opportunity to hear how they might be saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter number 24, it says that these things shall not be the end until the gospel of the kingdom be preached unto all the world, and then comes the end. So what a wonderful thing to see, that on also a note of the end of time, of end times or end things or the end of the world, is that the gospel of Jesus Christ will ignite revivals across the entire world, or at least the very opportunity to believe the gospel will be available to them. Now, here's what I want to transition to, no pun intended there. Here's one of the transitions I want to. Alongside the signs of the end of the world, there's going to be a rise of an evil king, let's say, that's going to rise, and I want to look at some of the signs of the rise. In the end times, there are also not only a rise in sinfulness and brokenness and technology, but there's going to be a man that's going to take hold of all of these things, and he's going to be called the Antichrist. And so, Old Lion, give us some of the signs, not of only the end times, but also this end times king that's going to try to take the place of God.
Yes, let me just give you a couple more of these reasons to believe that we're so close to this time. Is if I read to you Daniel chapter 12 and verse 4, it says this, "But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase." people, as you look out, look at what's unique about our generation. Mm. People are zipping around in cars 80 miles an hour on their way to work every day. They're flying around in planes all over the world, zipping here and there, exactly in answer to this prophecy of Daniel 2,600 years ago. And this idea of technology, knowledge shall increase. Look at, you can go to the internet and you can find out any piece of information as though you had the world's largest library right in front of you. This is unprecedented times. It is a sign of the end. The other last one is this days of Lot. Jesus said, not only would it be like the days of Noah when he comes, but also like the days of Lot. In the days of Lot, we saw men going after other men. You saw sodomy, fornication that was unprecedented during that time. And Jesus said, hey, that's coming back. And we look out today, we see the alphabet soup gang, and they are the L's, the B's, the G's, the T's, the Q's, the plus, plus, plus. This is happening in our generation. This is something that was actually prophesied by Jesus in Luke chapter 17.
Yeah, so this is just, we don't want you to have a dreadfulness of this time, but the Bible does predict this, and we're not going to hide from these things. We have a phrase in our show where we say we're careful not to have any pages of our Bible glued together. And Jesus prophesies about this, and Daniel prophesies about this, Zechariah and Isaiah and Jeremiah, they tell us of this, and we need to be ready. We need to not have our head in the clouds. We need to not have our head in the sand. We need to have our head in the game, right where the book says that we're supposed to be. So let's talk a little bit about the rise, not as the end times culture arises. There's going to be a man that wants to put his stranglehold grip on all of the culture, politics, religion, and this man is going to be known as maybe he's going to be known first as a good king, but he'll be revealed as an evil king, the Antichrist. And what are some of the signs of the Antichrist to show up?
Well, interestingly, Daniel again says this guy is likely, he's going to forsake the love of women. So he's likely to be somebody who is a homosexual. He is going to be a political leader, a military leader, an economic leader, and not a lot of people don't realize this. He's going to be a religious leader. Mm. He's going to be seen as a uniter. You ever seen these folks driving around with these bumper stickers, the coexist bumper stickers? So this is going to be the overriding sentiment of this Antichrist who comes to power. He's going to be perceived as a uniter, one who's supposedly bringing peace. And so he is coming soon. I don't know if you've ever heard of Chrislam.
Chrislam,
the idea
I've heard of
Christianity melding and merging with Islam. This person is going to be that type of guy who's going to try to mesh together things that don't fit together.
Mm. Well, Daniel, the prophet Daniel tells us that he will not regard the God of his fathers. So there's an interesting connection that is someone who denies the God of his very own father. So wherever he comes from, he's going to be a representative of someone that has, as we learned in 1 Timothy, the form of godliness, but he denies the power thereof. And so we believe that the Bible kind of indicates that the background of this Antichrist person that's going to rise to power is going to be somebody that has some connection to the true God, but denies that God in favor of him claiming himself to be God. And so what's one other indicator of who this Antichrist is, and in what ways is he going to fool some of the people, and how is he kind of going to rise to power?
Well, I've heard it said that Israel is God's timepiece, and so that's why all the eyes of the world seem to be on Israel these days, and rightfully so. That's where Jesus is going to rule and reign. But it says in Daniel that he is in this last week or this last 7-year period, this Antichrist is going to make a covenant with God's people. And one can speculate, right now the temple has been destroyed, but a lot of the end time prophecies in your Bible are predicated on the fact that there's going to be a reconstructed temple. So one can speculate that this Antichrist comes in, and it says he makes a covenant with God's people, and that covenant may be to rebuild this third temple. We know that the Jewish people are longing to rebuild their temple in the city of Jerusalem, and so there could be a covenant there. Then the Bible says this, after 3.5 years of that 7-year period, this Antichrist breaks his covenant, and then he comes in and he does what the Bible calls the abomination of desolation. And Anthony mentioned this, he's going to take his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. It's an amazing thing. This is the abomination of desolation. And the Bible says right at that moment in time, there is going to arise great tribulation in the earth, such as has never been from the time the earth was created until now. yea, nor shall ever be in the future.
And this is prophesied throughout Scripture. And so what we showed you today is kind of the signs of the times. And what we're leading up to is our final episode next week that's going to declare, okay, so how is it going to turn out for those that actually place their faith in Jesus? We're so happy that you've been with us throughout all this signs of the times week. We hope that you're keeping your head in the game while you're looking at some of this stuff. We don't want you to be wearied or lost or hurt. We want you to have hope for the blessed hope and the arrival and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, which we're going to talk about next week. You don't want to miss out on the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ next week. We're so happy that you stuck with us so far, and we hope that you'll stick with us into season 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 until Jesus comes back. Thanks for listening, and God bless.
And we'll see you in church.